Well, guys, and there's a crack. Wow. Yeah, I'm getting tired every day. My voice is getting worse and worse. It is our last day together, our last evening. It's crazy, right? This week has gone by so fast. It's our last night together, not morning, am I right? Yeah? Okay. I just wanted to say first that I'm really honored that I get to be here and that I've been able to spend this week with you guys. It's been so much fun getting to dive into God's character with you, getting to connect with you, get to know some of you guys. And I want to start tonight off with a question, but I just want you to think about this one internally. We've been talking out loud to each other, but I want you to think about this one just between you and yourself. So here's the question. What has God said to you this week? We've been talking about who God is, the character of God, and I think that maybe through this, God's been speaking to you about maybe about your identity. Maybe he's been speaking to you, giving you clarity in the direction of your life or in your calling. Maybe he's been encouraging you just simply day to day in the little things. Maybe he's invited you into a relationship with him for the first time. What has God said to you this week? And then I have a second question. I'm kind of pointed in the same direction. What's next? How will you take what you've learned, what you've experienced, and let that thrust you, send you into the next season, into the world? I want us to wrestle this morning with this idea that God is a God who speaks, but it's actually up to us whether or not we will listen to it. We will hear him, but it's up to you whether or not you will actually step into what he's said. Did I say it again? Yeah, guys, this is hilarious. I said morning. Can we just pray for me real quick? Because I'm really tired. If you wouldn't mind, let's just pray. And as I'm praying, just ask Jesus that I won't say morning ever again. Jesus, thank you for humbling me in that moment. You were so kind and you were patient, even when our words aren't coming correctly. I pray that you give me the words, that I would hear your voice and that I would speak as you prompt me, that it wouldn't just be words on an iPad, but that it would be words from you. Let them forget everything of me and let them hear everything from you. Jesus, please, we need you here. I need you. I need you in this moment. Thank you for your grace and your kindness. Speak to us. In your holy heavenly name we pray. Amen. It is the evening, right? Okay, so God speaks. Are you listening? And if you've heard his voice, what are you going to do about it? Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 30. We're going to start in verse 11, because this is essentially what Moses is saying to the Israelites in this moment. God speaks. Are you listening? If you've heard his voice, what are you going to do about it? For this commandment that I command you today is not too hard for you. Neither is it far off. It is not in heaven, that you should say, who will ascend to heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea, that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you can do it. So Moses is nearing the end of his life. This is the man that had rescued the Israelites from Egypt. This is the man that had gone up to the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments. He had seen the burning bush. He had seen God face to face. This was the man who would go into the tent of meeting to meet with the presence of God, to hear from the Lord on behalf of the people. He was on his way out. He was leaving now. Now, the nation of Israel was worried, and rightly so. Like, if Moses is gone, like, how are we going to hear God's voice? How are we going to know what to do? How will we discern the will of the Lord and then walk in that? Who will ascend to heaven for us? Who will bring us his message so that we can hear it and do it? The passage says. So Moses' response is, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth, it's in your heart. Essentially, he's saying, God is not silent to you. God is a God who speaks, and he's close. So turn with me over to the New Testament, Acts chapter 16, verse 6. Acts chapter 16, verse 6. It says, and they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So, passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So from initially reading this passage, it seems like Paul went through quite a bit of traveling and trouble to eventually hear the Holy Spirit tell him to go to Macedonia. Wouldn't it have been easier for the Spirit to just tell him, hey, go here? But instead, you see Paul traversing all over the map, bouncing from city to city. No, not here. No, not here. Why would he do that? And then eventually, he got to Macedonia, right? And on top of that, he wasn't alone. Paul was actually with a church planting team. Can you imagine being a part of that team? Paul, are we on a wild goose chase right now? Have you heard the Lord correctly? Are we sure he knows what he's doing? Maybe you're in this situation too. Maybe you feel like God has been leading you to places only to tell you, no, not here. Maybe you're asking questions like, why are you doing this, God? Or am I really doing this right? Have I discerned your voice correctly? And maybe you have a pretty clear vision of where you're going, what the end goal is, but how you're going to get there seems uncertain. In this passage, you can kind of notice that Paul is in this constant conversation with the Holy Spirit, with God. That there's a back and forth going on. Now, this is just speculation, but I wonder if the Spirit would have told Paul to go to Macedonia from the beginning. I wonder if Paul would have actually continued in that conversation with him. There have been so many times in my life when I feel like I know the plan, where I think I have the direction figured out, and unintentionally, my conversation with God goes to the back burner. See, oftentimes when we know the plan, we forget God. But God wants to talk to you. He loves the process, the back and forth. He wants to have conversation with you. The question is, are we willing to listen? Perhaps God was just simply inviting Paul into this practice of listening. God is a God who speaks. The question is, are you willing to listen? The Bible shows us that God speaks all the time. It's our job to listen. In chapter 4, verse 12, it says, the Lord spoke to you out of the fire. You heard the sound of words, but saw no form. There was only a voice. So God is invisible. And though sometimes he reveals himself in visible forms, for the most part within the scriptures, his persistent and consistent form of communicating with his people is through some form of speech in one way or another. In Psalm 40, verse 6, it says, "My ears you have opened." The Hebrew here literally reads, "My ears you have dug." So in this beautiful but even painful picture, God takes a shovel to our skulls and digs out our ears. The metaphor says two things. Hearing is a gift. We live in a fallen world where listening, relational connection with God is no longer natural for us. Therefore, we need the Holy Spirit's help to open our ears. But two, so listening is a gift, hearing is a gift, but two, we have hard heads. We need the shovel dug in there. It wasn't easy. Some of the translations say, "My ears you have pierced," almost as if God had to take a pickaxe in there, right? Isaiah 50 verse 4 says, "Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught." God issues a wake-up call to each morning, dragging us by the ears out of bed so that we can hear and live as we are called. Jesus even talks about listening to God. He says in John 5, verse 30, "I can do nothing of my own or on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me." All right, so if I was Jesus, which obviously I'm not, but if I was Jesus, I would have said something along the lines of, "Listen, I'm God. I can do whatever I want, and whatever I do is just." But Jesus, in this moment, he humbly submits himself to the Father, choosing to listen to every word he hears from him, and then acting likewise, discerning, judging likewise. God is a God who speaks, but are you willing to listen? Are you listening? Probably the most common question asked about this subject is, why can't I hear God's voice? But I wonder if the more appropriate question is, why won't I hear God's voice? If God is in the business of communicating to his people, why do we still struggle with hearing him? Have you ever thought about that? In the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 20, Jesus says, "Listen, I am standing at the door knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come into you and I will eat with you." It looks like the true listeners of Jesus, the true followers, are the ones that hear him knocking and let him in. But if we're honest with ourselves, sometimes we actually don't open the door, do we? In fact, sometimes we don't even hear the knock. Why is that? What are the barriers in our life that keep us from hearing God's voice? Here's a few. One, noise. There's a lot of noise in our culture, isn't there? We live in the digital age. We're constantly scrolling on our cell phones, social media. Some of us work a lot of hours from the moment we wake up to the moment we go back to bed again. There are noises, voices vying for our attention, calling us for our time, giving us invitations into certain ways of life, to believe specific things, to practice specific habits or behaviors, to live specific ways. There's so much noise. It comes from our family. It comes from our phones, from our friends, from our teachers, from the things that we read, from the things that we listen to. There's so much noise in our culture. The question is not whether or not you will choose to listen to something. It's actually, what are you listening to? Sometimes there's so much noise in our life that we never take the time to actually listen to the right voice. So there's noise. But oftentimes there's also complacency. See, we aren't just a social gathering here. We're a community with a mission. And if we want to hear Jesus' voice, sometimes we have to walk with him when he's moving. And when we choose to just step back, kind of live our own way, do our own thing, we're complacent, then as followers of Jesus, sometimes his voice becomes distant because he's way down there. We need to be in mission with him. We need to be walking with him. We need to be active in our faith. So sometimes there's noise. Sometimes we're complacent, and that kind of creates a white noise in our life. And then lastly, or no, let's just do number three. I've got a few here, and I think I want to do all of them. So this is number three. Sometimes it's just fear, right? Sometimes we're afraid. If God actually speaks, and it's not just our imagination, then that's actually quite terrifying because we have no control over what he's going to say to us. What if we don't like what he's going to say? What if, like, he actually asks us to change something? We actually like control, don't we? And we really don't like change. So sometimes we're afraid. So we just put a fear barrier up. Sometimes we live fragmented lives. So we're fragmented. We have a sacred life and a secular life. We compartmentalize our lives into the things that we think that are supposed to be the places where we hear God's voice. And then we have these other things in our lives where it's like, ah, no, this is not where God's going to move. This isn't where God's going to speak. We're not going to have any like faith component over here. But here's the reality. God's presence goes with you everywhere. We've talked about that. And if that's true, then every moment is sacred. Every situation, every step is an arrival. We live fragmented lives, and that can create a barrier between us and the Lord's voice. And then lastly, and I think this is probably one of the most important ones, is we're not reading our Bibles. Simply put, the scriptures, the word of God. In John 1, Jesus is described as the word made flesh. The very voice, logos, the word of God, come to us in bodily form, God himself in the flesh. And then Jesus says that the scriptures, in John 5, he says that the scriptures point to me. So if the scriptures point to Jesus, and then in Matthew 5, he says, I didn't come to abolish the scriptures, but I actually came to fulfill them. If we want to connect with Jesus, commune with him, if we want to understand God, then we need to be pouring into our scriptures. So the barriers are these: noise, complacency, fear, fragmented lives, and we're not reading our scriptures. Which one of these do you see in your own life? Most likely it's going to be a, kind of a mixture of all of them, right? And this isn't an extensive list. It's just a number of them, so there's probably more. God is a God who speaks. Have you postured your life to listen to what he's saying? Have you actively tried to remove the barriers in your life? The Bible shows us that God speaks in so many different ways. In scripture, we see words spoken from heaven. We see words written on tablets. We see preaching, prophetic words, answered prayer, visual demonstrations, counsels, consensus, thoughts, dreams, visions, symbols, words from others, signs in creation, angels, music and song, spiritual gifts, the breaking of bread, and the immersion in water, baptism, common sense, conviction of sin, impressions on the conscience through the scriptures themselves, and last but not least, a chatty donkey. If you haven't read that story, look it up. It's insane. God literally opens the mouth of a donkey to speak to someone that he wanted to rebuke. It's hilarious, actually. So some argue That yes, God spoke back then that way, but now we have the scriptures. And the Bible has all the revelation we'd ever need. So he doesn't talk to us in any of those ways anymore. Especially the donkey one, right? But like, I mean, if you think about that, that's honestly ridiculous. Now, I'm not lowering the value of scripture here. Remember, the Bible is an authority, and Jesus valued and elevated the scriptures. And if we're followers of Jesus, then we should approach the scriptures the exact same way Jesus did. And he valued it. So I'm not saying that we should lower our value of scripture, but because we have a high value of scripture doesn't mean that he doesn't speak in any other ways anymore. To say that God doesn't speak in any other ways is almost as if I was to come to my wife and say, Meredith, you know, we've been married for a few years now and things are great. We've been growing. It's been amazing. And I love this, but like I'm going now. And it's okay. Don't worry. I'm not going to be talking to you anymore, but it's fine. I wrote this book and it's got everything you need in it. I bound it in leather and I actually engraved your name in it. So here you go. I won't be talking anymore, but I expect for us to grow in intimacy. Doesn't that sound absurd? Jesus is passionate about his bride. And he speaks to us all the time. Now, I think it's safe to say that most of us will never hear the audible voice of God, but he will resound so clearly within our souls through different moments that it'll almost feel like he's actually speaking to us. So if we think we're hearing God speak to us, then how do we discern that? How do we know whether God is actually speaking to us? We've already talked about this one. This is important. Remember, harmony with scripture. God will not contradict the word. So when we think we're hearing God's voice, if it's not lining up with the scriptures, then it's not God's voice. End of story, period, full stop. No questions asked. You see, like when you're on the phone with somebody, and they don't have a caller ID, and you say hello, and then you hear their voice, and they're like, hey, how's it going? And you know their voice, like if it's your parent, or if it's your brother or your sister or someone that you love, you know their voice because you've had conversation with them, right? You recognize their voice. The way we learn to recognize God's voice is by pouring into the scriptures. So when we're discerning the voice of God, we need to make for sure that it's in harmony with the scripture. But two, we want to make for sure that it's in confirmation with a community that's devoted to Jesus. See, I fundamentally believe that you cannot follow Jesus or be his disciple alone. We need deep, interconnected relationships that are pursuing Jesus and that are devoted to the scriptures together, so that when we're discerning and we come to them and we're like, hey, I've looked at the Bible, I think the Lord might be saying this to me, and then they're doing the same thing, we can help each other out. And then they can also say, I don't think that that's right. And so we can help build each other up. So we need to be in harmony with the scriptures. Our discernment does. When we're discerning God's voice, we need the confirmation of a community that's devoted to the scriptures. And then lastly, we need to pause for reflection. Oftentimes, when we think we're hearing the voice of the Lord, when we think that God has spoken to us in a specific way, it's so weighty that we feel like it demands our immediate like execution. But God is patient. When you're discerning his voice, pause. Reflect. If you give it time, usually that brings clarity. Or it starts to dissipate and not become important. And you're like, oh man, maybe this wasn't God's voice actually. God is patient with us. And he wants us to discern his voice. So we actually do need to pause. God is a God who speaks. He speaks in harmony with scripture, in confirmation with community. And he speaks to us patiently. I said this question at the beginning, but let me say it again. If you've heard his voice, what are you going to do about it? There's this moment in John 10 where Jesus is talking to his disciples about himself, and he describes himself as the good shepherd. And when he's describing the relationship he has with his sheep, his people, he says this in verse 27. He says, I'm the good shepherd. Or no, he says that beforehand. But then he says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. And they follow me. See, it's this picture of the sheep almost grazing in the field. And when they hear the shepherd's voice, immediately their heads lift up. See, Jesus describes, because of the intimacy that he has with his flock, two things happen. They hear his voice, and then they follow him. They listen, and they obey. See, to truly listen to God, we need both listening and obedience. The words listen and obey actually come from the same root. In Latin, the word obey would not exist without the word listen. The word we translate as obedience in English literally means a listening from below. It's a guttural, deep-rooted listening, a listening with your body. A listening with your arms and your bones and your hands and your legs. To truly listen to God, we need to hear and we need to do. Jesus in Matthew 7 says that whoever hears these words and puts them into practice is like the wise man who builds his house on a rock. And when the winds come and the rains come as well, the house is not moved. But the man who hears these words and does not put them into practice, it's like the foolish person who puts his house on sand. And when the rains come and the winds blow, that house collapses. And great was the fall of that house. He says, you have two options. You can hear, but will you choose to put that into practice? Hear and do. Listen and obey. Karl Barth, a theologian, said that the best way to test the authenticity of a communication from God is to act on it and see what happens. Just execute. To close, what have you heard God say this week? Jesus is speaking to us all the time. He longs to speak with you. He longs to communicate with you. He's given you his word and a community to patiently discern his voice. What have you heard God say this week? That's good. It's profound, even. Now, the last night of camp, it's time to listen with your feet. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much. Thank you that you are a good Father. Thank you that you speak with us. Jesus, you are so kind. I thank you for these students. I thank you for what you've done in their lives. I pray that you just continue to develop them into men and women who are chasing you, and that will change their families, their schools, their cities. Jesus, we need them. Lord, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for the grace to share with them just from the heart. I love you, Lord. In your holy heavenly name we pray. Amen.